And welcome to That Horrorcast. I'm Mallory Smart.
And I'm Dmitry Samarov.
Today's episode is about the 2017 biographical psychological drama, My Friend Dahmer. This film is based on the 2012 graphic novel of the same name by John Durf Backderf, who had been friends with Dahmer in high school in the 70s, right up until the time Dahmer began his killing spree in 1978. It reflects on Jeffrey's teenage years, marked by a dysfunctional family, a growing obsession with death, and his struggle with his identity and desires. Although he's an outcast becoming detached from reality, his bizarre behavior attracts a dorky group of guys, especially when he simulates cerebral palsy in class, which soon becomes a recurring joke that they use to disrupt class and gain attention. It soon becomes known as doing a Dahmer. The guys form the Dahmer Fan Club, which initially starts as a way to mock Jeff's weirdness, but eventually leads to a twisted form of friendship. The film is seen from the perspective of Durf, the leader of the Dahmer Fan Club, but it does not excuse or forgive Dahmer's later crimes, but rather offers an empathetic look at his troubled adolescence, and leaves the viewer to decide whether Dahmer's many humiliations had a causative effect on the infamous serial killer that he'd soon become. Hello.
You hear me?
Yep, I could hear you. Sorry, I was like in the process of like you're taking a bit, and I was like, oh, I might as well really quickly jump on Submittable and see the 24-hour submissions.
Wow. Wow, you're multitasking.
Yeah, I wasn't sure like if you saw my message right away, and I was just like, Dmitry could wait.
No, I could. It always takes a second because I got to do the drop-down menus and make sure the headset is recognized and stuff, you know?
That's what takes a second.
Well, it won't work otherwise.
That is true. Very true.
Yeah, you'll have a monologue about Jeffrey Dahmer, which, I mean, may be more entertaining. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure I could have one, but...
I know.
Yeah.
I think this is what our talk will a lot be about your fascination with Jeffrey Dahmer.
You know, honestly, the obsession, like, I don't really know if it is an obsession. It's just an intrigue. I've always just been very fascinated by serial killers, but I think a lot of people get caught into that, like, weird, you know, like, the thing that, like, you just don't understand. Like, some people get, like, stuck in, like, say, a Holocaust phase or a Titanic phase or something like that in life. You know what I'm talking about?
There was a guy, I think I wrote about this. I went to, when I was in art school, he was obsessed with Mutiny on the Bounty.
See, yeah. Like, people like fascinations.
Yeah, he was, his whole, whatever, inner life was about being on a ship, I guess.
I'd like to say that's weird, but I've had weirder, so.
Yeah, I don't know. So what were you applying to on the old Submittable?
Oh, I wasn't submitting. I was reading submissions.
Oh, you were reading submissions. Oh, yeah, you had it open for 24 hours.
Yeah, people pay like $5 extra to get a 24-hour response, and I was just sometimes I know what the response is going to be within a couple hours, but I'm just like, this person's going to be pissed if I reject them within 1 or 2 hours.
Oh, really? Hell no.
I've had people be very angry and be like, I paid for this. And it's like,
oh, they thought that guaranteed you an acceptance. Jesus.
That's why I have on the website now where it's like, this does not guarantee an acceptance. It's just meaning that I'm going to read it faster.
Yeah. I think you should make them charge them more for a guaranteed acceptance. Like, give me $1,000 and you can, be, then
I'm
guarantee.
Sure. I have no idea what, like,
how much would it take?
I don't know, because some people, see, if I say this, people are going to be like, Mallory, you're so fucking pretentious, but you agree. Some people just suck at writing.
Most people suck at writing.
And I get a lot of submissions like that, and I do the form submission, like rejection, but yeah.
I had a horrifying experience this is now a while ago, guy I know who's a teacher at Columbia College invited me to be like on a panel, and like you talk about people that have published writers, or I don't remember the exact theme of it. It was me and a few other people, so we had this little talk. And then what we were supposed to do is students that were seniors and with a like writing majors of some kind, or English, I don't know what they were, creative writing, something. They were undergraduates. Like we were supposed to split off, and they had sent each of the people, panelists, like a section to read. Mm-hmm. And it was so fucking horrible. Like half of them were like couldn't form a sentence, and almost everything was just like sci-fi fantasy bullshit, you know?
I'd rather have that than some of the weird ass shit I get.
What do you get?
Pretentious, like no. MFA types.
They all live in Brooklyn or what? Like
if I were to show you some of these, you'd be like, dear God, they are all writing about the same thing in the exact same way.
So could you peg who are they trying to be? Like what writer are they trying to be?
I would say a lot of Jonathan Franzens out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, big sprawl, like big sprawling, like they're going to make a big statement about America or something?
Yes, very much. I do have some people who still think Jack Kerouac is a thing you could be.
Oh, wow.
So you could tell right away.
So they were like,
where someone's trying to be a writer versus being a writer.
Hitchhiking West man on the back of the truck, man passing the whiskey around.
I shit you not. I read one where the person exclusively referred to marijuana as tea, and I just want to be like, this is not the 60s. Like, what the fuck?
Nice. And this is probably like a 23-year-old or something.
How am I supposed to know?
Right. They don't write their age.
Although I do allow people to show their author pick in there, so it gives me a better idea.
Oh, okay. Huh. I don't know. I know some of them, not everyone, but like they have some places do some kind of blind submission, so like you're not influenced like by the person's name or anything. There's no bio.
We did that for the first year of Maudlin House's existence, but then we found out that we were actually accepting a lot of the same people over and over.
Well, sure, yeah. Well, because you're going to be interested in the same kind of writing, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So, quite ironically, by showing names is what allowed us to actually find new writers, as opposed to being like, I published this person like 5 times.
What's your cutoff? Like, how often do you guys think is okay?
I don't want to publish someone more than once a month.
Yeah. But that seems reasonable.
I just had someone that I accepted, and they even said, they're like, it seems like I'm accepted every like 3 to 4 months. So if you don't want it, just feel free to say fuck off. And it's like, that's actually a good, healthy frame of mind right there.
Yeah. I just told the reader, like the theater editor asked me if I wanted to go to see this play, but like it's at a theater that I review like all their plays, you know?
Mm.
So I told her, like, just send somebody else so they don't start thinking the people that read don't start thinking I'm just this theater's publicist, you know what I mean? Like it seems like the fix is in after a while.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is a bummer. I love this place, you know, but like it doesn't seem right to monopolize.
You gotta give like another perspective a chance.
Yeah. So did you get anything good?
A couple days ago, I got some good 24-hour submissions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just me really quickly rejecting the pieces that I already flagged last night that I was going to reject, but I just didn't want to do it because I thought it was going to piss people off. Seriously, people get very angry if you reject a piece really quickly, even if they paid for it to be done within 24 hours.
I'm surprised that they write back. That's fucked up. I mean, I get rejections all the time. I don't write back. You know, it's like, well, you don't want it. All right.
I don't even write back when I'm accepted.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just never occurred to me. But I've had a lot of people write back to me. Sometimes very positive. I've had a lot of positive feedback lately from people who were rejected in the last month.
Oh, Mallory, thank you. This feels so good that you don't want me.
I would say, seriously, though, like, it was an honor to be considered. Although this wasn't the response I was hoping for, I'll try again. Thank you. I'm like, ooh, okay.
That's a nice form response.
Probably.
I guess you have to protect yourself, you know, and your feelings or whatever.
But, no, I mean, I think in the early days, and occasionally I will still get, like, the stray person who's like, fuck you, or seriously, you immediately, did you even read it? Bullshit like that.
That's fucked up. Those are people that need to learn some boundaries and rules of the game, you know?
Those are people that... You know, I promise that's like, oh, I'm not gonna punish you, but I'll never accept a piece of theirs ever again.
Well, yeah, of course. That mark, that's like the, you know, whatever, the scarlet letter, right? They're done.
Like, I had one person,
they're
say,
on
like,
the shit list.
The first month or two of Malden House's existence, he emailed me about how he hated our form response and how antagonizing it is.
Wow.
And there was like a 15 email long back and forth of him being pissy.
Oh, you engaged him?
I was new.
Yeah, that's when you didn't know that you don't feed the trolls or whatever.
That was innocent 23-year-old Mallory.
Yeah. This is one of your hardening coming of age experiences.
And then, like, 2 months later, he like submitted again.
Oh,
and
wow.
Had the audacity to submit again. And then two, when he got rejected, was pissed off. But the thing is, it could either be signed by me or Belent. So I actually had Belent like send the rejection. And then he emailed back and was like, am I being punished? And Boo was just like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was not involved in the other situation.
Yeah. It's weird how, I guess this is how people learn, but where they just don't understand what the process at all, you know? Like, it's not any kind of, like, democracy or anything. You're trying to be let into a door that's not into like a private club kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Especially because I don't know how to state it. It's not that I hate you as a writer or something. I just didn't like your piece and I didn't want to publish it. Like, it's
simple
enough.
Well, then also,
yeah,
people take things, rejection so personally, and it can't be, you know, like, not if you want to make a go of it. Jesus Christ. If I reacted to every rejection I got, I'd just be like in the fetal position in the corner of this room, you know, trembling.
I mean, I don't know how many rejections I have. I could look on Submittable to get a decent like vibe.
Oh, I race. One self-protection that I do, I don't do Submittable that much, but once I get a rejection or an acceptance, I just erase it so I have no record.
Ooh.
So I can forget, you know what I mean? It's wiped from my memory.
See, yeah. I kind of see it as, like, I do the ratio kind of game in my mind.
So what's a good ratio? Is it, like, a baseball average is good? Or, like, what would you say is good?
I would say that, like, 3 out of 10 of my submissions get accepted.
Yeah, that's like, a good baseball average. If you bat 300, that's really good in baseball.
But then again, I have to say I'm very specific. I'm not one of those like people who carpet bomb like submissions to people. I'm just like, I kind of vibe where it would fit.
Sure.
Where some people just blindly be like, I'm just going to send it everywhere.
Do you use that that Cool Subs site? Do you ever use that?
You're referring to Chill Subs?
Chill Subs, yes.
No, I don't. I actually recently found out that you could actually use Submittable to check out shit like that, too. So, no. Yeah. I only find people through Twitter or I did on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't use those, so I need some kind of aggregator thing. So yeah, like Submittable has one, but like that Chill Subs is pretty good. I only just recently started looking at it.
We started communicating with Chill Subs maybe about 2 years ago because we want to just like get rid of Submittable because it's so expensive. Sure.
Oh, is it?
Not as expensive for us as it is for everybody else because we got grandfathered in 10 years ago.
Mm.
It's extremely high these days for everyone else.
That sucks.
But yes, back to Jeffrey Dahmer, shall we?
Well, it's okay. Here's the very thin thread. I'll tie it in. Yes, it's about like belonging and not belonging. Yeah, that's a bit major theme of this movie. I mean, not of his later life, but well, maybe of his later life too. But yeah, of this movie for sure. Yeah, it just struck me. I hadn't seen this movie in a while. It's just so sad. The whole thing is sad, you know.
I think you asked previously what fascinated me about Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
And as I said, broadly, I find serial killers fascinating.
Why?
I don't know. I think sometimes it is just like you become fascinated by what you don't understand.
Yeah.
And with Jeffrey Dahmer, he stood out because he feels like a serial killer who is not meant to be a serial killer.
Well, like he's not a type A serial.
It seems like there are a lot of like moments where he could have turned back and not have become a serial killer.
But don't you think that's true of all of them? If something in the biography had made it like if they made a left turn rather than a right turn, like things would have been different.
I say nope. It would be the way with most people, but he more so. I mean, even with his first two murders, they weren't premeditated.
Mm-hmm.
After that, he was just like, oh, I can get away with this, and then started killing. But prior to that, I mean, even like this movie, it made it feel very sympathetic to him.
Well, sure. Yeah, it was very, very sympathetic. I mean, I guess this is...
Like,
same
he stands out from, like, other serial killers because it's like, is he fascinated by dead animals? Yes. Is he killing animals? No.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's more of a, what's it called? Not parasite. Scavenger.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's looking for, because he's always looking for roadkill. But that's because that's kind of like a lack of confidence, you know, like he had to work his way up to it, right? To killing.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where he, step by step, I think it was like he eventually wanted to just drug people because he wanted to see them as objects. And then one time it just was like, oh, I killed them in the process of drugging them and I can get away with this.
Well, he was trying to do, like, Frankenstein surgeries. He was trying to make them be his friends.
Yeah, after that was the intent, though, to do that. He didn't have the intention prior to the accidental killing in the bathhouse.
Mm.
And the the killing of our hitchhiker that we show at the end of the movie.
At the very end of this movie, yeah. Yeah, because this is... like a classic superhero origin story type of thing. This is before he becomes whatever, Aquaman. or
Cannibal Man.
Yeah, Black Panther or whatever. Wonder Girl.
They got in a fight. Like, that was a situation where Dahmer, that was like his first, like, snapped, lost control because poor hitchhiker tried to leave. Obviously, it didn't work out for him as it did for the friend. Yeah. Prior to that.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, this movie is all, I mean, almost all of what we're seeing is sort of like imagined or speculation, you know?
Oh, clearly.
Because it's written, you know, it's based on a graphic novel by this guy, Durf Backdurf, John Backdurf, but he goes by Durf Backdurf, who was his classmate. But all that stuff. I mean, most of the movie is not with any. In most of the movie, he's on his own, You know, he's just wandering the woods or stalking the hot doctor in town, played by the guy from Mad Men, which is pretty funny.
I was going to say, I didn't recognize him the first time.
The guy everybody hated in Mad Men.
I was just like,
what was his character's name?
Campbell. Shouted that out loud. That Pete Campbell?
Yeah, that was Pete Campbell, yeah. That was Pete Campbell.
The Derf, back, whatever his name is, he's played by Alex Wolf, right? The one who starts the Dahmer fan club.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Wolf. He's actually really good. He's in Hereditary as well.
Right, yeah. I knew I recognized, I was trying to remember what I recognized him from. There's totally unrecognizable Anne Heche as the mom.
Oh, I recognize that bitch right away.
Well, I mean, like with the brown hair and stuff, you know, she was under a lot of makeup and stuff. She's great. She's a great actress. It's a real shame the way things ended up with her. Talk about tragedy. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she, you know, acted what she knew.
Yeah.
His mother was, sorry, my throat, water time.
Yeah. You have to hit the cough button on her on the show.
We have fucked cough buttons.
I cough all the time on the show.
Do you really?
Yeah, there's lots of cough. Yeah.
Oh. I'm too lazy to edit out coughs.
That's fine. So, I mean, our millions of listeners, you know, they all paid $5.
They want the authentic experience.
Yeah, to listen right away, and we won't reject them.
Yeah. We don't want to create some Dahmers out there.
That's right. We accept everybody.
But no, Jeffrey Dahmer's mother was pretty clearly out of it. She did chase UFOs and had no understanding and no foot in reality, really.
The guy that plays the father, I've seen him in a few things too. He played a killer on some show. I don't remember which.
I know who you're talking about. I just don't know what the fuck
his name is. Dallas something. His first name is
Dallas Roberts.
Yeah, he was a killer on some TV show.
I mean, it
like
says
a cop show or something
in Law and Order. So
yeah, he was like a recurring like killer, like that they just couldn't pin for a while. You know,
that's what I
remember him from.
No, they had a better actor playing his father in the miniseries with Evan Peters. That guy definitely gave off the more hopelessness vibe.
Yeah.
But see, the father in the miniseries didn't really feel that there was much of a problem with Jeffrey, whereas the father in this actually had the Anne Heche moment where he was just like, we have to talk about Jeff.
Yeah. Well, and then he like throws all his taxidermy formaldehyde corpses into the trash.
Which in the miniseries, they really portray the father as actually encouraging that hobby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he started because he's a chemist or something.
Yeah. So I guess we'll never know where the father really was on that line. The father never really spoke out much, and Dahmer has his own interesting, weird take on events. I've listened to the Dahmer confession tapes.
You're obsessed.
I listened to the John Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy ones too. So you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, I did watch the John Gacy. Yeah, there was a mini series where they had a lot of the excerpts from the tapes from jail.
Which one was it? There are a lot of John Wayne Gacy ones.
Yeah, more recent. There's a couple more recent ones. But yeah, where they just play him talking. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just how manipulative he was.
Yeah.
He was always trying to play the guy. He was the guy that was interviewing him. I think he was like a retired FBI profiler. He's an older guy talking to him.
I mean, that's basically what happened with Ted Bundy as well, where they were using him to help profile other serial killers, like, to understand their motives and shit.
Right. Yeah, they do all that Hannibal Lecter shit, where they visit him in jail and try to help him find the other serial killers.
Meanwhile, with Dahmer, it was one of those, he just wanted to let everyone know the story. Just like, I just need to get it off my chest.
He's still just trying to make a friend, a connection.
It seemed like he was just so overly helpful to all of it. And it's like, you're scaring everybody, man. Like, yeah. None of this is okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, so, yeah, it must have been your internet, because I stayed on the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, I just immediately saw you lost connection, and I was like, motherfucker, like, yeah. I doubt you heard me cursing.
Nope, I didn't. No, I was just talking, I was asking you why, keep investigating why it is that your fascination with serial killers.
As I said, I think people just go through phases.
So do you think you'll ever get out of it, be satisfied?
Oh, I think I am out of the phase. I just now find it intriguing to watch the stuff.
Oh, before you were practicing to become one?
No, before I definitely was like actively like reading up on it and everything, where I was just like, what is the deal with this shit? But I have to say, like, as I said, like Titanic phase and everything too, I went through a hardcore Titanic phase as well.
You're into sinking ships?
Dimitri... When I was a little kid, I actually built my own Titanic miniature model out of Legos. So, yes.
and try to and pretend you were singing on the mast or whatever, like doing the flying Kate Winslet thing.
That scene was so cringe. Even then, I was just like, this is really dorky.
Yeah. But so what was the part that you liked? What was
Titanic?
What was the attraction there?
Oh, it's a running joke, I think, with most 90s kids, because it came with the double VHS thing, because it was so long. I'm a second tape person.
It's where it starts sinking? Yeah.
And apparently a lot of people are the second tape person. No one gives a shit about the actual story. We just want to see the ship sink.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... Man, yeah, it's real boring. I didn't make it through. I mean, we talked about this before. I finally saw it, what was it, last year? Because the Music Box was showing it in 70mm. And yeah, I didn't get through it.
Maybe like if you stepped out for an hour and a half and then walked back in.
Well, you know, kind of like in Oppenheimer, I just couldn't make it to the explosion.
I rewatched that. Once it came on Peacock, and I didn't hate it as much as I did after, like, I saw it in theaters. I think I just had too high of expectations when I saw it in theaters.
Well, it won everything.
Yeah, that really fucking annoyed me.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible. It knew it was going to happen, but...
Yep.
Hmm.
Yep.
But not, like... As I just, you know, first VHS kind of thing, this is basically the first VHS of Dahmer, isn't it?
What is?
My Friend Dahmer. I mean, it's the preamble to the actual action.
There was some other one. There was one with what's-his-face. Jeremy Renner played him.
I haven't seen that one. A lot of people recommend it.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've never been even tempted to see it, but like it looks cheesy. But I think Jeremy Renner is a pretty entertaining actor.
That's what like makes me intrigued to watch it. But see, that's how you know that I'm not that into serial killers, where it's like I just haven't gotten around to that one.
It's finally fading. You're
like there are moments where I'm just like I don't need to watch this. Like if I can come across it, I'm just like. All right, and I don't have anything else to do.
There's something a little bit juvenile about the fascination with serial killers. I don't know. I mean, I remember in art school there's people making serial, there's a guy making a serial killer like board game.
What?
In printmaking class, yeah, they were making like a whole board and like all the stops, you know.
Sounds hilarious, actually.
Well, yeah.
Talk about that, dark humor.
Yeah, that was the era when you could write to John Gacy in jail and order one of his clown paintings, you know. There's people who are collecting those.
Apparently, a lot of people would send Jeffrey Dahmer cartoons and everything that they made for him until he got killed in prison.
Yeah, good. Yeah, like got it off the tax payroll, tax, you know, like stopped having to pay for the fucker to be alive.
He didn't actually want to be alive. In the confession tapes, he actually said that his worst mistake was actually being caught in Wisconsin because they didn't do the death penalty.
Well, he should have moved. That's a kind of weird passivity, you know. There are ways that he could have taken care of that.
I would say he could have killed himself.
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
And if he did want to stop the compulsion he was feeling to kill, he could have killed himself.
Yep.
Or turn himself in or whatever. So he definitely was like cray cray serial killer, but just the whole story before it, I feel, is more fascinating. And I think maybe it is because we don't have any movies about what Ted Bundy was like before Ted Bundy went crazy. And same with like John Wayne Gacy, we get like a taste of like, this is a guy living a dual life.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly we don't have shit about the Zodiac Killer, but I love the movie Zodiac.
Yeah, Zodiac's great. That's, you know, that's back when David Fincher was good. Yeah.
It's probably one of my favorite, like, Robert Downey Jr. roles.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, this thing he won for was ridiculous. It's just for him putting on different weird wigs. I don't know. Had, you know, like...
Felt like another legacy Oscar.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yep.
But out of that group, I'm not sure who I really would have actually wanted to win. It was an interesting Oscars.
Oh, there was both those neither of those actors deserved it. Like, yeah, Cillian Murphy had like 10 other roles where he was better than in this movie, you know.
I think like if it was gonna be like best supporting actor or whatever, or best actor, I would have wanted to see Paul Giamatti get something. Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, but that would have been a legacy win. Like, he deserves one, but, like, that's not a good movie either, I don't think. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Holdovers?
I was pretty shocked that Divine won, and she keeps winning, because the role isn't that big.
Sure.
And it didn't leave that much of an impression.
But the supporting actors often, some of them, like the winners, they'll win for like a couple of scenes, you know, like, and then they win. It's not, I don't know.
So it was definitely interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I was bartending, so I didn't have to like even be tempted to see the fucking thing. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't interested in almost anything that was even nominated. But it was ludicrous that Lily Gladstone didn't win. I mean, that's absurd, you know.
That one shocked me. Obviously, it shocked the hell out of Emma Stone as well.
Yeah, yeah. Emma Stone had no business winning anything.
I think she felt the same
for that piece of shit. But like,
I haven't seen it.
Ugh, it's terrible.
I'll be able to give my opinion this weekend because I told Belent that we could finally see it.
Oh, was he raring it? He was excited to see it?
Yeah, he's been dying to see it. And I was just like, oh, we'll do it whenever it hits streaming. And it's on streaming now, so.
There you go. It's about the same level as Saltburn, I'd say, as a movie. It's about like that.
See, that one at least was pretty mildly amusing to me at moments.
It was another terrible movie. So, like, one of the worst screenplays I've ever seen in a movie. Like, he just told you everything.
Yeah, basically. But there are amusing moments.
That director really, really needs a screenwriter. It's the second movie of hers that has a terrible screenplay.
What was the other one she did?
Promising Young
Woman.
Yeah, that had a that was terrible screenplay too. But she gets the
great
gets
idea very, though.
She get has great actors, but like apparently that's like that Solver and that's like her life. That's where yeah. she comes from, you know. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know she was the person who plays Camilla on The Crown. I was like, that sounds fitting. Yeah.
Who plays Camilla?
The director.
Oh, really?
Saltburn. Yeah.
I've never seen The Crown, so.
Yeah, she plays the cunty side chick, our now king of Britain.
Mm. Did you see? I sent you like that article about the Cafe Pergolesi.
I did.
Yeah, that was all happening when I was in art school. You know, when they caught Dahmer, and I went to that cafe. It was a cool, like, speaking of like Jack Kerouac. You were talking about Jack Kerouac earlier. That was that kind of coffee shop. You know, like it's kind of like one of those hippie Allen Ginsberg beatnik places. And yeah, because he opened it, that guy's father opened it in the late 60s and kept it going until his son got killed by Dahmer and closed it then.
I think that had to be one of the worst things as a parent to find out, because he killed people in such a brutal way and everything, like, and we're finding just body parts and shit. Identifying them seems like that had to be really, really hard.
Well, you think the parents would have been more consoled if the bodies were intact?
I think the horrific nature of it added to the freaky, like, oh my God, like they suffered really heavily as well.
Mm. Hmm. So, like, as a parent, you prefer that your child was killed quickly?
If I had a kid, and if they were murdered, I would hope that it was quick and they didn't feel much pain.
Mm.
Like, I don't know, I feel like...
Good to know.
I don't know, with you, it's almost one of those things where, like, you don't like to think about it, but if you're killed, would you rather be killed in a total horrific way, or would you rather be killed quick and painlessly?
I hadn't considered.
I'd rather go quick and painless.
How I would want to be killed.
See, that's how you and I differ. I've had that conversation with a lot of people.
Like, what method you'd want to be killed by?
Yeah, or like, you know, when I die, I hope I die this way or that way. Or this seems like the worst way to go.
Mm.
You never had that talk with anybody?
No, I've plenty of talks about killing myself, but that's different. That's a whole different topic, you know?
Oh, I've had that talk as well.
But not being killed. No, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody about how I would want to be killed.
It's more of like how I wouldn't want to die.
Oh, okay. These are the options.
Like, I don't want to die in a fire. I don't want to drown to death. Shit like that. Those seem pretty extra, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I think we just need drugs where you just knock yourself out. I think that was one thing Dahmer did do, where he did knock his people out. So I don't actually know if they did feel a lot of the horror.
Yeah, maybe they drifted off and they thought they were going off to paradise. How do you know?
Yeah. I mean, who could say? Dahmer can't even really truly say. I know in one of the tapes he said that he didn't want them to suffer, which is odd for all the shit he did. That is a guy who also had no foot in reality as well. I don't want them to suffer. I'm just going to wait till they're dead before I do horrific shit.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, do we think that, like, if that group of friends weren't just friends with him ironically because he was a weirdo, they'd stayed friends and gone to college with him, like, none of that would have happened?
You know, that's a question mark in my head, but I don't actually have it that way. I wonder if his family life was better and if he was able to go to, say, therapy, you know?
Yeah, but this is the, I mean, there's, like, we've talked about, like, say, like, whatever, like, you know, Roman Polanski wasn't a serial killer, but, like, you know, he was a most likely, like, a multiple rapist, child rapist, you know? Definitely. But, and Roman Polanski survived the Holocaust, but millions of people survived the Holocaust and didn't rape a single girl, you know?
It comes to the question, when I think about it, we don't know of any infamous serial killers these days, and I wonder if it's because we have better access to psychiatric help.
You think people have gotten healthier?
Healthier, more of a, oh, you're fucking crazy. We're just going to commit you.
I think they just get caught faster before they have a chance because of
DNA
and other, all this stuff. I don't think they have a chance to become serial killers.
And, yeah, that's the other internet, argument.
Like the pervade, all the technology, information technology, you know? I think it's harder. It's harder on serial killers these days.
You have to be really, really sneaky.
Yeah, I don't know.
And smart. See, Jeffrey Dahmer, he couldn't make it in today's world because he wasn't that precise.
He wasn't that smart. He was kind of a dope.
I mean, he dropped out of college like with a horrible GPA.
Yeah.
He seemed like a moron before he even was playing up the, oh, being a moron in school for attention is cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, having fits and stuff. Yeah. Spazzing out, as they said.
I believe they called it doing a Dahmer.
Yeah, right.
That was such a weird, like, is that how, like, dudes think?
Sure it is.
Like, where you see, like, a dude being crazy and be like, dude, I'm just going to encourage the shit out of this.
Yeah, I found that very believable. All that stuff. Excuse me. Yeah, guys like that. Try to be outrageous. Try to be as far out as you can. You know, cause a scene at the shopping mall or at the school.
Because that maybe, I don't know if it's a gender thing or an age thing or whatever. I just never witnessed anyone be like, that guy's fucking hilarious.
Mm.
Like if someone was totally being like crazy like that, it'd be more of the, what the fuck's the matter with that person?
But it's also that little clique of friends, you know, they were into doing, kind of pushing boundaries, like that time they went to the beauty queen's house and just shit-talked her, you know, like pretending to interview her.
How do you feel now that the best days of your life are over?
Right, yeah. So they definitely had a mean streak the whole time, you know?
They were little douchebags, but yeah, one of them did feel bad at the end.
But they like pranks and stuff, and like the whole thing of putting him in all the extracurricular clubs.
Yeah, I found that interesting. That's something that actually really did happen.
Yeah, that was always a thing in the year, like where somebody would try to photobomb, you know, whatever it's called now, or more recently, where you jump into the frame.
Yeah. I like the way he did it. That sounds so much funnier, just to, like, do the creepy, like, just stand and stare down kind of.
Yeah, look like Michael Myers or something.
Be like, act like the person you're eventually going to be.
It's just interesting. Like, I was just reading up on the guy that played Dahmer. He's some kind of, like, teen music star. Or not star, but, like, he was in bands and stuff. He doesn't look like that at all, like, when off... You know, he had the kind of loser haircut and the glasses.
I mean, it's the same thing with, like, Evan Peters when he played him, too. And I can imagine in the Jeremy...
Renner.
I imagine it's the same thing because he's actually a decent-looking guy.
But, yeah, Renner... I mean, Renner plays him as an adult, I think, like when he's a serial killer already. I don't know when Evan Peters plays him.
He does from, like, the Doing a Dahmer to the day he dies.
Oh, wow. That he's in the miniseries. Okay.
Yeah. So, Ross Lynch, that's the guy who plays him.
Yeah, and... Yeah, what he looks like, as far as I could tell from the couple of clicks I made, was like, yeah, he was to be marketed as like a teen, like singer, idol kind of, you know, minor league guy, you know?
I was going to say he looks pretty good without a shirt. So good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He could have been like in a boy band or something. You know,
it feels like these days that's what he would do.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if he's still acting or anything, but I don't know what he's doing.
With Dahmer, I guess all it takes is, you know, wear the glasses, do the hunch, and look miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it would be, I mean, I guess, yeah, this movie, the movie's got a really strange vibe. It's very, very low-key, the whole movie. And, yeah, if they had played it up a little bit more, it would be cheesier. It would be more of like an SNL skit, the mm-hmm. way he looks and stuff. But because they just don't even comment on it, it kind of works in a weird way in this movie,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I mean, he definitely just came off as, like, because it's not like he stood out too heavily as, like, the, oh, my God, that guy's a geek. But
yeah,
he just kind of was like, oh, you're just kind of one of the, like, lamer students.
Yeah, he wasn't the biggest geek. Like, his one friend before, like, he totally betrayed him, you know?
Love how he just walked away as his friend was shouting that he had concert tickets.
Yeah, the little gay boy, yeah.
I mean, that was definitely like I was just leaving.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone didn't discover his inner rage yet. But then again, I don't think he ever acted that way in public, right?
How?
Like, aggressive.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
And he definitely didn't act charismatic.
No, he was low energy, and he was, yeah, I don't think he would have been able, I mean, he couldn't stand up to his dad either, you know?
Mm, no.
Like, when his dad was aggressive with him, he could never give back, you know, he could never answer him.
I mean, it seemed like he was just kind of the, like, I don't know, predecessor to an emo kid, kind of. Like the, leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just sort of ignored and forgotten, and nobody wanted to deal with him. Like that one, you know, I guess one of the sadder scenes is when the mom is packing up the car with the little brother, and he's just come back from like he's about to graduate, and the mom's like leaving for grandma's house. It's like, sorry, I'm not gonna make it to your graduation. Like, I don't care.
I find that fucking wild. She actually purposely did not take him because she didn't like him, and
yeah,
she left for several months, and he was like left alone to live there.
Yeah.
And that's why he had the house free to have the hitchhiker come and murder him.
Oh, there. The hitchhiker goes back to that same house.
Yeah.
Cause that's not in the movie. And I didn't follow up. Like, I didn't watch every bit of, Dahmer media like some of us.
Well, you know, it actually, they go deeper into it in the episode Doing a Dahmer in the miniseries.
Which I won't be watching that, so you can give away all the gory details.
It's not really, I mean, if I were to go into what happened, but it's just very simple. He had the weird creepy attraction to the guy.
Yeah.
And like, because he had no shirt on, and Dahmer was very closeted but wanting it.
Yeah.
And when he got him back to his place, he basically did what he probably wanted to do with a friend, didn't want him
to
leave.
Yeah, with back door. Yeah, there's foreshadowing, because when he comes over for the beer and then leaves right away.
He got the hitchhiker to come over for a beer, but when the hitchhiker tried to leave, he killed him.
Yeah, because it even shows him with the bat as the friend is about to leave, you know?
It does call to question, though, whether that really happened or if was just meant as, like, foreshadowing, like, yeah, he was definitely going to start killing.
Well, the whole thing is speculation, almost all, and from the memories of the friend, right? So who the fuck knows? And it's inventing an inner life that we don't really know about and can't know about for Dahmer, you know?
I mean, it seems like, obviously, the friend, quote-unquote friend, was just pulling from probably the confession tapes and information that was released eventually, because a lot of it was pretty spot on.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know how long ago the book was published. I mean, at least a few years before the movie, but yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Dahmer trial, all that shit, he had no issue admitting all the stuff and discussing what his life was, and very systematic, like not even like emotional about everything he did. So yeah, I don't think it'd be that hard for someone who did not know what his inner life was to just write what like was probably happening at home and correlate it with what's he doing at school at the same time.
So if somebody, how likely is somebody in the 24-hour response submission thing, if somebody wrote a thing about a serial killer, would they be more likely to be accepted by Maudlin House or less?
It depends on how they wrote it. I've had some where people
you've
submitted.
Had some serial killer stuff? Yeah.
I think I've only accepted a few. It's only if it's done in a clever way. Like, yeah. I don't accept shit just because this is about murder or serial killing. It's like where some is just like totally about like sex or whatever. And it's like, this just doesn't feel like it's a story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't even seem like something that I want to read. Whereas like, I've seen some people like throw stuff in a very ironic and funny, clever way. And it's like, go on. Yeah.
So the ironic serial killer story is that'll get a good look.
Yeah, and I won't lie, titles will jump out at me. You'll definitely catch my attention if you have a more clever title than others. I promise you, almost all editors think that way too.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, that is your first pitch right there, the title of what you wrote.
Sure.
But I am pretty decent at reading all the stuff. I mean, I get like 300 or so like submissions a month.
So is your submissions always open?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man, yeah, that's a lot.
And I tell people that I'll respond around 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But I tell people not to query me. That doesn't mean that it doesn't happen, though.
What's the quickest, the shortest amount of reading that you've rejected a piece in? Like, can you do it after a sentence?
I remember actually being at a bar. I think I was at Hungry Brain, actually.
Mm.
And I was joking around with my friend where I was just like, oh, if people found out sometimes how quickly I reject shit, they would hate me. And then, like, next to me was a writer. And they're like, wait, do you do Maudlin House? And I was just like, that was a joke.
You got found out.
Got caught.
Your cover was blown.
Just like for a brief minute where I was just like, I read more. I just get a vibe, though. But no, I mean,
I could tell
pretty quickly.
I've quit books after a paragraph before.
And, like, if you get, like, a bad vibe, like, where it's, like, I'm not going to be into this from, like, the first couple sentences, I'll just do a quick skim then to be, like, was this just a really bad, like, intro and it gets better or, yeah.
But, yeah, you're not getting book length. I mean, you do get book length submissions, but, like, not typically. It's, like, whatever. A few hundred words, right? Or whatever.
I tell people for the actual website, do not submit anything over 5,000 words.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get 7,000 word things occasionally,
really?
But if it's someone who actually will go to me personally and say, I have a longer piece, but I think you'll like it,
They think you're Harper's or something? Like, 7,000 words, that's a long-ass article. Or like,
it is pretty long. But it's one of those, like, sometimes it is where it's like, you know what, you're not being indulgent. This is just a really good story. Like, I'll publish it.
What's the longest story you've published?
I don't know.
I mean, have you published a 7,000-word?
Yeah.
Story? You have? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm pulling that specific example.
Yeah, right.
It's because, like, the person messaged me and they're like, would I have to trim this or can I submit it as is? And I was like, just send it over.
They just send you the Cliff's Notes.
People give me the TLDR first, and then I'll be like, okay, I'll check it out.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, yeah, we think, yeah, if he had just been a little bit accepted a little bit more, maybe he wouldn't have gone down the wrong path, right? Is that what we've decided about old Jeffrey?
Maybe. Jeff, that's the question mark. I mean, I don't know. Like, you almost have to just, like, play the what ifs. Like, maybe if being gay was more acceptable. Maybe if he was born into a world that had Grindr. Maybe.
Just like the Holocaust thing I keep coming back to. There's many, many, like, repressed or, like, tormented gay kids, you know, that didn't kill a single person, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, before and after, you know, like, even before any of the access to the... It's unanswerable.
There are a ton of, like, people with parent-mommy issues who are closetedly gay and had weird fascinations didn't become serial killers.
Yeah, people that are love dead and like get into taxidermy or whatever, formaldehyde, like glass jars of fetal pigs or whatever.
And they don't want to take that extra leap.
No, that it doesn't correlate that they're going to want to kill people. Like it just doesn't, not necessarily. So like some of this profiler shit I'm very wary of, you know, that like that there's this pattern that if you do A, B, and C, you're going to end up killing people.
I think really it's just like a red flag thing. Kind of like with the movie We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Well, yeah. You know.
Which I would actually have to say, more intriguing, he definitely came off as a, he's going to be a killer. Whereas in My Friend Dahmer, it's like, I don't know. He just seems like he's a fucked up poor guy. I feel bad for him, but I know that he will eventually become a crazy serial killer.
Well, that's the thing. That's an interesting thing about this My Friend Dahmer is, what if they had named it something else? Like, from watching that movie, you would never know, and that hadn't told you, like, even down to picking up the hitchhiker. Like, what if his name is My Name George, or My Friend Ben, or something?
Even would if you they deduce didn't do like the scroll down at the ending where it's like, and he was never seen again?
No, but yeah, if you chop that off, it would just been about like this high school loser, right?
You'd get a hint at the end, be like, I think he has some fucked up intentions. But
like, yeah, maybe something bad would happen, but you wouldn't jump to the conclusion that he would kill 17 young men, you know? Like,
no.
Nothing, kind of like that's I think that's what makes the movie sort of compelling, is that it doesn't add up, you know what I mean?
And I think that's what makes Jeffrey Dahmer such a fascinating serial killer, is because I think just a lot of people didn't see it coming. I mean, he didn't really, like, as I said, he liked dead animals, but he didn't like killing the animals.
He wasn't voted most likely to become a serial killer in the high school yearbook.
I don't think they would allow that anymore, but back then they probably would have allowed that.
Yeah, I had a... Have I told you this? In my high school yearbook, there's this whole tribute page to a kid that got chopped in half by a dumbwaiter.
What the fuck?
There's this like, asshole towny kid. He was playing around. He had a job at a supermarket, and he would jump in and out of this dumbwaiter, and he got stuck, and he got chopped in half. And there's this whole tribute page in my yearbook about what a great guy he was, but he wasn't. He was just like the shithead. He was the guy. He would be friends with those Dahmers, quasi-friends. He would just, like, run down the hallway and, like, open homeroom classes and yell obscene shit and run away, you know?
Yeah.
That was that guy. But of course, you know, once, if you die
now
tragically,
I speak ill of the dead.
Yeah, if you die tragically, you become a saint, you know?
You know, we had a football player at my school who had a similar situation. There was like a lake where I grew up.
He drowned or?
Yeah. But it was a lake where a lot of people drown, where it was like one of those, like, do not swim in this lake. Like, there is some issue with it.
Wow. Yeah. You had like the whatever, the Friday the 13th lake.
We'd call it Deadman's Lake.
There you go.
And he got drunk with his football buddies and he went swimming and did not come back.
So there was a tribute page to him about
not
what a great guy he was?
Not just a tribute page. For the first few football games of that year, everybody had his number on their jerseys. And it was one of those, like, he was a dumbass.
Do it for Rudy, or win one for the Gipper, or whatever.
It was really awkward because it's like the whole school knew he was a moron.
That's the thing is, you can't speak, like you said, no, can't speak ill of the dead. But I'm sorry, just because they're dead, like now he's a dead asshole. You know, like, sorry, that's not.
I wish we were allowed to say that more. You know, it's just like when they're ugly babies and you have to be like, oh, it's adorable. It's like most of them are just more ugly.
Most babies are ugly. I had an aunt that died. She died of cancer like in her early 50s. And this is one of the most selfish people I'd ever met. Like, all she did was, like, take care of herself and go on vacations. And, like, she was really vain and stuff. And she died, like, this is a person that selfish and, like, this is, it was like, I don't want to say it's poetic justice, but, like, I didn't think any better of her when she died. I don't know. She died when I was young, you know?
Where you just like, you do have that feeling, but you're not going to say it out loud.
Yeah, I've said it out loud, but like, that's me.
I would say you have the courage that I don't have.
I don't know if it's courage, but it's
is it a lack of filter?
Yeah, no political sense. I'm not a diplomat. Let's put it that way.
I can buy that.
They won't be sending. They won't be appointing me to any exotic locales to advocate for the country anytime soon.
If Jeffrey had killed one of his friends, do you think any of them would have gotten a nice thing written about them in the yearbook?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, it wasn't clear. Like, I think that group of friends, they were not like real high status, really. I mean, they were okay, but like the main guy is a cartoonist. Cartoonists are typically dorks, you know?
They all looked very dweeby.
Yeah, they were dweeby, but they were like they weren't up as high as like the football players, but they weren't as far down as Dahmer and his friend were. So they were somewhere in the middle in the ecosystem. But yeah, I don't know how beloved. It was hard to say because it wasn't really the Backdurf story. It wasn't his story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he made sure to definitely highlight that he was a decent guy. I mean, he noted moments where he went a little overboard.
Yeah. I mean, he would have been, I'm sure he would have gotten a high school tribute page just because that's what they do in yearbooks, you know? I don't know. I don't know what they do now. Do they still publish yearbooks?
Maybe. I don't know.
Like these days? Is it all gone to like video or like it's just a TikTok?
I don't know. I would ask somebody. I just don't really talk to people of that age anymore.
Right. You've aged out. Even your nieces are too old now.
Yeah, they're too old. I mean, I have a fuck ton of nieces and nephews who are younger, but I don't really talk to those assholes.
Right. You're only close to a couple of them, right?
There are too many. I'm sure they're all nice. They could be great kids.
The great, great Irish tradition. You're be fruitful and multiply, right? There's so many of you.
Except for me. I'm just out here where it's like I don't have kids and I don't have any intention to have any for a very long time. And if that happens, then I might just not be able to have them and whatever, I'll get a dog.
Is that, well, dogs are often the starter baby.
it would just be the if I can't have a baby. And honestly, like, Oh my God. We were looking for houses the other day, and that was
my next question is, I mean, I know you're going to move, right? But like, where were you looking? Like in the Verbs somewhere? Or?
We were checking out St. Charles. Cause I really like that area. And Belen's parents decided to come with us and I will never go with them again. Cause they literally kept dropping the baby hint on me.
Oh yeah.
And I pulled Belen aside and I was like,
were they like
you're
rubbing
to let them know, like it's not happening at all. Not for a very long time.
Were they like rubbing your tummy or something?
Oh no, they'd just be like, you know, this room would be really great, you know, for a baby.
Yeah, that's
one house. They're like, this has a lot of rooms. You know, you could have like 2-3 children. I'm like, the fuck?
2-3 babies. Yeah, you should have.
I just want to be like, how old do you think I am? And also, hell no. I don't have any really good maternal instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. When I was looking around one of the houses, I was noting areas where I'm just like, the cat can't come down to this area. I don't think the cat would like that. That is where I am emotionally at this point.
You want to make sure that the cat is happy in the house?
Yeah.
How would you know that where the cat would be happy?
There is one where it had a finished basement, and we're like, oh, we can make this like a cool movie, like mini movie theater. But I was just like, we really couldn't though, because there is this like weird ceiling situation where I was like, if we want Starbuck to feel like she can come down there, I feel like her dumb ass is going to try and climb areas like that and she's going to get stuck.
I don't think you can suss out like all the trouble that the cat could get into, because they'll always think up new troubles that you couldn't even imagine.
That is true. That's why I don't want too big of a place either. And it's not just out of the cat. It's out of me. I don't like having to deal with that much space.
All those extra rooms for all your children.
See, your future children. Pick a small place, I don't have to be nagged about that.
Does Belen want children?
Not anytime soon. We were both having that conversation yesterday where I was like, you're going to have to talk to your mother. And he's like, I will. I know a conversation is needed. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you guys still have a legit window. I mean, not forever, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean.
Until it gets dangerous, I mean, you know.
It was a thing where I know 100% I am way too selfish for a kid right now.
Mm-hmm. Like. So you anticipate becoming less selfish in the next few years?
It's one of those, let's wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I become a better human being.
Did I tell you my baby brother's having a kid?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, my parents are fucking overjoyed. Yeah.
Dimitri, why aren't you at that? Why aren't you having kids? Are they like that to you?
They gave up on me years ago. But they did, my middle brother, they put on the full court press with him when in the window he had. He's past the window now too, but yeah, they gave him a much harder time than me. Yeah, they just knew, I mean, yeah, there were some hints for a while, but I was never with anybody long enough for it to be like a sustained effort, you know what I mean? They still think, because, you know, people are programmed this way that like, oh, you'll find somebody like a wife basically is what they think, you know, like somebody that will love you or whatever, you know, see, I'm alone and I didn't turn into a serial killer yet.
That we know of.
Yeah, that's right.
The people who hung out with Dahmer didn't know he was a serial killer. Now, did they?
No. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's not part of this movie, but like, did he actually have any friends?
More acquaintances than anything.
Yeah, because he worked in factories and stuff, right?
My friend, his father worked at the chocolate factory with Dahmer.
Yeah.
He was a polite guy, but he kept to himself.
Yeah. Jeffrey in the Chocolate Factory?
That would be a hilarious movie.
You could do a crossover. Yeah, you could put that creepo, that Timothy Chalamet in it. again.
That was really a weird movie.
Really dislike that guy. Oh, did you see it?
Yeah.
You saw the chalk? That looked terrible. I don't know.
It was one of those things where I was just like, it can't be worse than the Johnny Depp one. Mm. Johnny Depp one is still the worst.
Oh, it is? It's yeah. Oh, the Chalamet one is better than the Johnny Depp one?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Johnny Depp just one was just horrible.
Unnecessary, like, but that's for me filed under unnecessary remakes. Why do you need to remake the Gene Wilder one? It's perfectly good.
Exactly.
Like, why do you need to remake it? You don't need to. Just like, you know, Soderbergh didn't need to remake Solaris and, like, whatever. Gus Van Sant didn't need to remake Psycho. There's all these unnecessary remakes.
Hey, that's another Anne Heche one.
Right, she was in that.
See, tie that shit.
There you go. Anne Heche, yeah, shush.
See, she was in decent movies for a while. I have heard a lot of people say that they think that Psycho is just as good. I'm like, what?
Who the fuck thinks that? Those are people that don't know shit. I'm sorry. It's like, no.
I want to see you get into like a hardcore like film argument with somebody. I want to see how you can destroy someone.
invite Scout back on.
Yeah.
He name checked me in one of his reviews.
Oh, did he?
Which was very sweet. I was touched.
I don't know.
I mean, and Scout loves every movie, but like, it was something about
movie. I sent him a almost script that one of my friends wrote, and I was like, I don't read shit like this. Will you read it and tell me if it's good? And I'll send those notes back to my friend. So yeah.
And he said something was bad.
He said the whole thing was trash and that it should be thrown away.
Oh, good. I thought the only thing he didn't like was Ari Aster movies. He hates Ari Aster. But I think, you know, my theory is that that's just jealousy. But, like, he mentioned something. I think it was from one of our podcasts about, we're talking about how few, or maybe it's from real life. I don't remember. How few artists get a really good late period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that. And I don't even remember what movie he was. I think it may have been for The Holdovers, which, of course, he loved.
You know what? I think I mentioned on Twitter that I was going to see it, and him messaging me asking my thoughts, and I just never responded. Yeah, I vaguely remember this, yeah.
Let me see. Hold on a second. I got to see if I'm remembering this right. Yep. It's on a site called The Spool, which the first sentence says, the artist Dmitry Samarov once said to me that the ratio of good to bad late periods in an artist's life was depressing to consider.
Do you guys send that to me?
Yeah, I'll send you the link now.
That's
which
hilarious.
Is I was very touched, but
that's a fun name drop. That's funny.
Yeah, no, we love Scout here at that horror cast. whatever his goofy opinions about movies may be. You know.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I don't really get that much pleasure. You think it's funny, like me, like going off about some shit, but like, it's not, it's diminishing returns. It's not that satisfying.
I like just seeing people with very hard and fast opinions.
Oh, I have tons of them, but like the good thing about me is I don't hold on to it. Like, it just goes away. You know what I mean? And if somebody pushes back, I like that better. You know, I don't need them to agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's better if they disagree. That's more fun.
But, see, I find that amusing is a really hardcore discourse.
But you probably find it amusing or interesting because it's just so rare now. Like, it just doesn't fucking happen anymore.
Oh, I back down right away.
Yeah, no, everybody does because people are afraid of getting judged or getting canceled or getting whatever. But, like, you know, as I always say, can't be canceled if nobody's subscribing. You know, like, it's just...
That is true.
Nobody fucking cares, so I'm just going to say what I want. And, you know, if you call me out on it, you know, I'll acknowledge that. That's fine, but it's not the end of the world. Like, some just... dumb opinion about a movie or a book or whatever.
See, I'm gonna go like Dahmer and blame my upbringing. I think it very heavily has to do with the fact that I was the youngest of five kids and I have a very narcissistic father, and like they're very aggressive with their opinions, where I just learned it's like, I'm gonna lose this fight, I'm just gonna back down.
No, I mean, I was raised, you know, I'm from Russia, where people would argue around the table, you know, and it wasn't considered bad form or like impolite the way it is in America. America is much more like a make nice kind of place.
It is. I mean, as I said, I knew I stood out as an American when I was in Egypt because I smiled at people.
Yeah, right. You're supposed to smile at people, whereas that's not. I mean, in my neighborhood in Bridgeport, there's a lot of Chinese people, and like especially like elderly Chinese people, they're just out taking a walk. They won't make eye contact, you know, and they're not being rude. That's just not what they do, you know.
Whereas Americans, we have this really weird need to constantly be liked by everybody.
Right. So yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't a good American either, I guess. In that context,
he had the need. He just didn't have the capability.
He just couldn't do it. Every now and then he could fake it. Like when he asked that one young girl to the freshman to prom.
He was pretty persuasive there. And what fascinates me is
he faked being like a normal person. Yeah.
Did that actually happen? I want to know that, because everything that I've heard of him, it didn't seem like he was capable of being that charismatic.
Well, that's a biographical, unless the screenwriters just made it up, that would have been a thing that the writer could have known. You know what I mean?
I mean,
because they were both at the prom together.
They knew that he got the girl at the prom. They don't know what the arrangement was.
Well, yeah, but the whole movie is speculation that way. That's what I think I said that earlier.
Yeah.
All this since we spend most of the time without those friends, nobody was there recording. Nobody knew what he was doing, really, except for, as you say, from his descriptions, which, do you trust them? Who the fuck knows?
I'm going to say, you're going off of the word of someone who is obviously crazy.
Yes.
But with, like, the prom thing, they didn't know he was going to be there. It's like, oh, look who's here.
Well, because there was a scene set up, you know, they didn't think that anybody would. He overheard them saying, well, nobody would ever go to the prom with Dahmer because he's such a freak, basically. And then he takes that as a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had the need. He wanted to fit in. He wanted to be liked at times. It seems like he was.
But he also gives up. I mean, the end of that scene is he's in the car alone, like eating something, you know, like.
It was one of those, like, I got off the image, and now I don't have to deal with it anymore. Like, I proved you wrong, and now I'm just going to go back into my shell.
But, yeah, and also, like, you know, contrary to you, like, he's not the youngest. He's the oldest, except he's still clearly, like, the beta, or, like, the younger brother is the favorite son, you know, by both the parents. Because he's quote-unquote normal, you know?
I find it fascinating that no one knows anything about the brother because he changed his last name.
He's disappeared, Jeffrey. That makes sense. Well, you know, it's just like...
moved away and changed his name.
You know, there haven't been that many Adolfs running around the world in the last 60 years, you know?
You don't hear anyone with the last name Hitler.
Right. And there's clear... I mean... He wasn't born out of an egg, you know, like he didn't hatch out of an egg. There are relatives. Yeah.
But
they're not proud of that.
In the miniseries, and that's why, again, huge speculation, it doesn't say anything about it in his confession tapes, but it is documented. His father weirdly did stand by him, even till him being arrested as a serial killer. His father was kind of there. It was his mother who was just like, I prefer the little one.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there is that in this movie where he does, that time that he apologizes, say, I'm sorry, I'm get angry with you because it's just me getting angry with myself.
And like gives him the car and shit.
Right. Well, before that, he gives him the dumbbells so he can work out and look hot.
The dumbbells actually are the first way he killed somebody.
Oh, is that the first weapon? Yep. That's what he used? Okay.
Good job. You made the serial killer stronger.
That's why Dad had to stand by him, because he gave him the murder weapon.
And he taught him a lot about the dissolving and weird experiments. And
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, with the chemicals. Yep.
It's like, oh, I just got to make sure shit goes smoothly. But no, like the father was there, like even when like he was arrested for like molesting a young boy and shit. Why that wasn't seen as a huge red flag, I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, people aren't that observant, and like in retrospect, you tie all these points together. But once again, you know, there's many, many people that molest people that aren't killers. You know what I mean?
That is true, but many, he did like
that's a lot more common.
Drug the kid, but it's one of those. Yeah. I guess you can make the leap that he wasn't trying to kill him; he was just trying to sedate
trying to
molest him.
Yeah, he's just trying to take advantage of him. But yeah, that doesn't. The leap to becoming a murderer—that's a big leap.
The fascinating thing is he ended up killing that kid's brother.
Oh right, okay. Well,
yeah.
Is your next book going to be a biography of Jeffrey Dahmer?
There are too many of those out there by now.
Yours will be the definitive one.
Doubt it. I just like dropping stuff about him out there occasionally, just to be like, hey, let's talk about Jeffrey Dahmer occasionally.
At cocktail parties? That's your patter? That's a small talk?
I mean, you know, I made a Jeffrey Dahmer reference in the last book I did, like where it's just like weird random things where it's like, I'm just going to throw in a weird odd tidbit.
This will make people love my book.
It's just like weird personality quirks where, I mean, I think we discuss when it comes to writing where it's like, you know, I'm just going to throw part of me in here. And
I have a
weird serial killer vibe.
I thought your last book was totally autobiographical.
The last book? Oh, yeah. I am such a cool, charismatic rock star. Who hates himself.
Yeah, and your mom named you after a pop star of the 70s.
Hell yes. There are so many Mallorys out there.
Yeah.
Which was a heavy complaint I had, by the way, growing up.
I know. You've mentioned it before.
Like, I love my name now, but when you're a little kid and you see the necklaces or the mugs and shit, it's like, my name is not represented here at all.
Yeah, at the rest area, you can't get the travel mug or whatever, or the friendship bracelet with the name. It's not printed out already, etched out or whatever, you know?
I think even Coca-Cola did something like 5 years ago where they had, like, names on it.
Oh, did they?
And, not represented.
No Mallory? No, Mallory, you were looking for your own monogrammed Coca-Cola can or whatever.
Yes, I was. Anytime I saw them, I was like, maybe here. They had some like very interesting names too, like where they did try and modernize some of the names and they represented other ethnicities and everything.
Oh, really?
Like, you motherfuckers still know Mallory?
So like it would be like, you know, hey, Ahmed, have a Coke and a smile or something.
They did. They had like some interesting names. Like, here's the Coke and a smile. And that is why I prefer Pepsi.
Because there's a Mallory Pepsi can?
They have never excluded me. Not yet.
But just they haven't excluded you because they excluded everybody from the name can. I see.
That's equal for everyone. Pepsi doesn't give a fuck about any of us.
Well, anyways, I think we're more or less done with the Dahmergate.
Dahmer time.
Yeah. Dahmer time's over.
I feel like you could seriously, that's just hammer time. Yeah.
That's what that was the pun. Yeah.
Okay.
Dahmer time. Can't touch this. Yeah.
My mind is just going through so much where it's like, yeah, that would actually be a hilarious, like, Weird Al song if he were to do that.
Sure.
He can make it work.
Yeah. No, it would be like, you can touch this. That's what Dahmer's all about, is touching dead shit. You know, like, you can touch this.
You could parody the hell out of it, yeah.
Yeah, he's always, you know, in this movie even, he's always pawing at the roadkill and, like, pulling out the organs and stuff.
I mean, yeah, just as, like, another, like, fascinating thing at the end. He did enjoy masturbating to roadkill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, roadkill and Pete Campbell, alternating from between the two.
Really wants someone to cup his balls. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a weird conversation that was, by the way. Like, oh, and that guy jogs all the way by my house all the time, and the other guy was just like, "Yeah, well, he cups my balls, so I win." It's like, what kind of shit do dudes talk about?
They talk about stuff like that. No. What Dahmer says, that guy jogs by my house Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or something like that.
Yeah, like he knew the exact schedule. Yeah.
And in fact, I sit in the woods waiting for him all those days. That's how I know.
That is a factual thing that he admitted, that he did have it where he had a bat that he intended to kill his jogger, but he just never did.
Yeah, yeah, because there's that scene where he's just bashing the tree trunk. When he doesn't have the nerve to do it.
So there again, it's like he had the instinct, but he suppressed it.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't suppress it.
Well, everybody has these thoughts, but most of us don't act on them.
I don't think I've ever had the "I want to kill someone" thought.
I probably have.
Yeah.
I mean, not to the point of planning it or anything, but.
Well, see, that's the interesting thing. Jeffrey Dahmer didn't plan it for the first couple.
Right. He was learning on the job. Yeah, he was learning on the job. It's on the job training. Yeah, it's one of those things, like most things in life, you learn by doing.
And then he was just like, I could perfect this method. Did he perfect making zombies? No.
No, he didn't. He didn't quite make it. Yeah. Yeah, he needed much more R&D than he gave himself, you know, to perfect that process.
Yeah, I mean, just too much was happening at that time, and he was losing control. It's like, you know what? We can't win them all, can we?
Well, yeah, you can't get emotionally invested in your research that way. No. It doesn't work out.
Not for lack of trying, though.
Right. Okay, so... How do you feel about going back to the 70s? I want to rewatch this movie. I mentioned this movie to you. They showed it at the Music Box. It's called The Messiah of Evil.
Yeah, you did mention that.
I think I'd like that to be the next pick. It's on Tubi.
Okay.
For your next question.
Sounds good.
Messiah of Evil, yeah. Concerns a young lady going... tracking down her missing father, who was an artist. And there's all kinds of weird shit occurrences in a picturesque coastal California town in the 70s.
Well, I think it'll be fun to watch. I've never heard of it, so.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either, but I guess it's one like it's got a cult following, this movie. Yeah, there was a guy that came to the bar who I see at movies fairly often, who was like raving about that movie, and he was mad because he couldn't make the screening that I went to, but it was one of his all-time favorites. And he's apparently not alone.
Well, we'll see if we could join the cult.
Yep. And there's some cult stuff, so you'll enjoy that.
Ooh. Yeah, you just hooked me.
Yeah, I know you like your cults. So do you like cults or serial killers more? What's a bigger fascination?
Oh, how dare you make me choose?
You have to choose.
Shit. Aw. Right now, I'm more fascinated by cults, but yeah. I guess all around I'm going to go serial killers.
Oh, wow, okay.
But momentarily I'm in a cult fascination, yeah.
Yeah, I saw one. There's a recent one of these trashy series on one of the streamers about some. It was a lady. It was like she's like Mother God or something like that. Do you know that one?
Mm-mm.
She declared herself God and she had followers, and it was very bizarre.
Is her name Taylor Swift?
Yes. No, but they. And she became mummified in bed. It was really grotesque. And it just seems all made up, except that there's all this documentary footage. That's it's not the Blair Witch Project.
Okay. So there is some interesting cult shit that I just haven't come across yet. There's probably a lot.
There's a few, you know. What was the other one? Yeah, there's a few. Like, I like the ones that are like ride the line. They're more low key, that are more like, well, they're just self help or whatever. I mean, one of the other ones that are really fascinating to me is that one called Synanon. Have you heard of that?
Yeah,
that was a cult. Yeah, there's more of coming out about that more recently. But like, I keep trying to. I can't find. There's a movie like an old like from 50s or 60s movie. Black and white movie about Synanon. It's called like the Synanon story, but it's not available anywhere. But there was lots of, it was in California, so they attracted a lot of celebrities. And it started as a detox place. But he incorporated all this like, whatever, rage therapy, like where you scream at people and call them out for all their faults and stuff. Man, it was intense in interpersonal stuff. All that stuff that you shy away from in your life, from the conflicts. You know?
Maybe I need that therapy.
Yeah, you need like.
Maybe I should join that cult.
The airing of grievances, you know.
Yeah. I do wish I could do that. Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, it would be satisfying. That's the satisfying part about like just. A listing blunt opinions, whether it's not a matter of winning or losing. It's like a purging kind of situation.
And that is a horror movie that we will never do.
What's
the
that?
Purge.
Oh, blech. This is boring and dumb. No.
I know had it on the list at one point where I was like, do we talk about how weird this movie is? And I was just like, okay, Dimitri doesn't want to talk about how weird a movie is.
No, yeah, weird is not a, that's, weird is one of these things, it's become like saying something is interesting, it's kind of meaningless, you know, or calling somebody a hipster. It's lost all actual like, meaning.
Would you call it like indulgent, or, I don't know, how would you describe a movie like that?
The Purge?
Overhyped?
I don't know, lame.
Like there are like five Purge movies, and they keep.
Well, sure, yeah. So it's clearly got an audience, but I don't know.
It kind of rides that torture porn like thing.
Well, it indulges this kind of like alternate history, like fantasy. I mean, it attracts the same people that like QAnon, I think, you know. So minor league way, you know, where you imagine this other conspiracy kind of future where there are people in control that like really will never be in control of society. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's simplistic, I guess, is one problem. It's super simplistic.
Yeah.
And it gives people a lot more credit than they're due, like for planning and conspiring. That's why like most conspiracy theories are just such bullshit and fantasy. Like people aren't that organized.
Yeah. It's very rare when they are.
Yeah. and they, yeah, it's
at which point it's actually impressive.
Sure. But it's very rare. It's just I don't know. It's like these like the endless sci-fi or fantasy series. It belongs to that more than horror, I think.
Mm-hmm.
These things like The Purge. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to classify because even with Dahmer right here, I don't know if it was horror. It was just one of those.
No, it's not. It's
bordered.
Yeah, it's a coming of age kind of biopic thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, I think if you didn't know this was about Jeffrey Dahmer, it would have just been like a sad movie about a creepy kid, loser kid, you know?
And I don't even think that we would have predicted. I think we probably would have guessed that he could be a mass shooter or something in today's lens. But even still, I'm not sure if I would have made that leap. Like, that would be interesting if
no.
we just changed the name and got rid of the end bit.
Yeah, he could have grown up to be, like the weird, like, middle-aged man working at, like, Walgreens, you know? And you wonder, like, what their inner life is like. But all they do is just go to work and then go home and watch TV or whatever. He could have grown up
so
to be that.
It feels so satisfying to know that someone else is really weirded out by the middle-aged man at Walgreens. Yeah.
Sure. You know, you wonder about people that are not or older than like a lot of those jobs typically attract. So they didn't have, you know, a quote unquote career or whatever. They just have this like shitty job and they're, so then you wonder what else they have going on. Like, you hope that they have something that's satisfying that's not killing young boys that they do on their off hours.
Yeah,
you know?
We're hoping, yeah.
Right.
Obviously, the people at the chocolate shop with Dahmer, they were wrong.
Dahmer and the chocolate factory, yeah.